This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, you said it. Here's the Dirty Commissioner.
I'm the Dirty Commissioner, so listen up.
he's got the scoop.
Yeah, right. Welcome to the show. I'm going to try to enlighten all you listeners, all 200,000 of you that are listening today, about pruning. This is pruning season, and not much else you can do. You might as well cut stuff down, okay? But thank you for listening, and if you have any questions or your suggestions or comments, the number to call is 673-4464, and get you right on the air, and I'll be nice to you, and you can tell me what you want, and we'll talk about it. How's that?
Now, he gives me the signal when to hang up.
Yeah, right. Oh, fall. We're in fall for sure now.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely this is fall, and it's a beautiful time of year, and most of the leaves, it seems, have kind of fallen. They're still, as I go by though, I still see some sweet gum trees that are fully leafed out, and they're kind of turning, but it looks like they're going to be on there for another month. And
then the
tree down the street got just bare limbs. That's it.
Right.
And you go, that must be a maple tree.
What color are those, the ones that are still have the leaves?
Oh, the orange reddish ones.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't miss them. They're just like, blah, orange, you know. I mean, they just jump at you.
Stand out.
Yes, indeed. But this, as soon as the days become shorter and another cold front like we've had in the last two or three days, that moves the colors to a greater degree, and then you have a great show, and then the bare trees will sit. And we'll look at the bare trees until spring, when a new crop of green begins to appear. And of the seasons, really, my favorite is spring, when life begins. And I like fall, but it's not my favorite because it's cold, dark, and wet, and all that. And when I get out of this radio station, I got to fight this traffic all the way through
Roseburg,
and it's crazy. And I go, oh, you people, you're going too fast. Slow down.
Oh, yeah.
It's dark.
A lot of morons out there.
Stop.
I mean, people that don't know how to drive.
Well, people that lack the skills of a mature driver. How's that? But fall is...
Not me.
Yeah, right, not me. Yeah. Fall is the cleanup time for the leaves to be cleaned up, and the pruning time begins in earnest because they're pretty much dormant, and you can pretty much cut what you want. And this time of year, pruning can be done without damage, and that's what you can do. And you can clearly see, with no leaves, on what branches need to be removed with no damage to the tree or to the shrubs. It's a real simple thing. You can prune during the year. You can prune in the spring. You can prune in the summer. But you got to be real kind of cautious, and you can't take a lot out of most of shrubs or trees at that time. You can kind of take a little bit off the top and maybe a little off the sides. But this time of year, from now till, first part of February, mid-February, depends on the weather. If it stays cold and ugly and rainy and wet and snowy and haily, you can pretty much massacre them and then go, oh, thanks, so we needed a haircut. But this time of year, like I say, without damage, you can clearly see those branches that need to be removed with no damage to the trees or the shrub.
Hmm.
And pruning is healthy for shrubs and trees. For instance, if your fruit trees are too tall, bring them down to within reach so you can actually pick the fruit without a 12-foot ladder, for crying out loud. That's no fun. I've done it. My trees, maybe 7 feet at the most. That's about as far as
tall.
And then they spread. When you prune the tops, then they promote side branching, and that's where most of the fruit production takes place.
Mm.
It's not on the tippy tops of the trees. Mm-hmm. I mean, there might be a few apples or a few prunes or whatever up there, but it's the side branches that get all the air circulation, the sunlight, and all that kind of stuff that's the most productive. So taking the tops out and then thinning on the inside, but I'll get into those details here a little bit later.
Alrighty.
But, But pruning is a healthy thing. It's just think about if you never cut your fingernails or your toenails, what would that be? It would be uncomfortable and unhealthy and strange.
It would hurt.
and you'd hurt all the time, I'll tell you. But it's a healthy thing to do. So, for instance, like I say, if your fruit trees are too tall, bring them down to within reach so you can actually pick the fruit without a huge ladder or something. And if there are too many branches, then go ahead and thin out about 30% of them. It's the little tiny branches. It's the little branches that are, you know, a foot or two long, and they don't produce much fruit anyway. They might produce one here and there, but for the most part, those are not the bearing branches. The bearing branches are the more mature ones, been on there for a couple of years at least. And well, what this happens when you clear out the stuff, you know, 30-40% of the little stuff and some on the top, you know, that air circulation, like I say, and that sunlight next spring can penetrate the tree, and this helps to cut down the insects and disease. And it also helps to ripen the fruit in a more evenly, quicker time. And I've always given the example of, hey, drive out to Garden Valley, look at Cruz Farms, look at their orchards. There's many of orchards around here that the pruning has been done. And drive by them and just see how much they've taken off the trees and how far down they brought them,
right.
And these are commercial outfits that's their livelihood, so they have to do it correctly.
So they know what they are doing.
Exactly. So you copy them, hey, you got it.
Bingo.
It's easy, you know. But a tree with too many branches, you know, doesn't give you well-developed fruit. It gives the trees a lot of shade and a lot of leaves, but it'll have some fruit on there. But it won't develop and ripen evenly.
Right.
Some will be ripe that are on the edges where they get the more sun, and those in the middle, they're about half ripe. And eventually they'll get ripe. In the meantime, the worms will attack them.
Sure.
And you'll say, where'd that little hole come from? And who's that guy waving at me from that little hole?
Well, thank you very much.
It's Bob the Worm, okay? But you know, you don't want small, wormy apples or pears or peaches or plums or whatever you've got in your yard. And it was, just think about this. It was an ugly tree with the dead branches and too many branches, and now you've made it more beautiful. It's simple. It's artistic. I mean, it's a work of art. You got to do that. So I did an experiment one time.
Oh?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah, I 100 times. I've done a lot of experiments just to see if they'd work. But this tree, when I first bought the nursery property, they had an old orchard there. And it was this one, it was right behind the old farmhouse there, and it was about 20 feet tall. And one of the main branches grew horizontally at about 5 feet tall, and just horizontally straight out. And it was a pretty big branch.
Looking thing.
Oh, it was. At one time, it had been pruned, and that branch got missed, and just kept going and going. And it was about 6 inches in diameter.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'd say 15 feet long, maybe.
Jeez.
12 feet long. And I looked at it one year and the first year, and I thought, well, gee whiz, why didn't anybody prune that tree? What's wrong with it? Because these folks that I bought the nursery from, they were farmers. That's what they did for a living. They sold apples and peaches and pears.
So they knew what was going on.
Yeah, but somehow they missed it. maybe they were doing a bonsai. I'm not sure. So I thought, let's see, what can I do? How can I destroy this tree? So I cut the top down to that horizontal branch to test my theory. In other words, I took about good 12 feet of the top out of the tree, pruned off all the other branches, and I just left that one horizontal branch that was, like I say, maybe 5 feet tall and sticking out about, 15 feet. I can't remember now, so I didn't.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, we'll see what happens. And then the following spring, that branch had many, many blooms on it. And I thought, wow, it looked like a bouquet, for crying out loud. And later on, many very large, beautiful apples, all right there chest high, just right there, and they had all the sun in the world because I took the top out and it wasn't shaded, and it was just gorgeous. And like I say, it was only 5 feet tall, but 12 feet long, and apples just, you know, just coming out of my ears there.
Wow.
And they were no bug problems, and the apples, I picked one and bit into it, and it was just like the juice ran out of it like a spigot, for crying out loud. And to this day, I don't recall what the name of that tree was, what type of apple it was. Yeah. It's a hoochie coochie apple.
Apple tree, yeah.
Yeah.
From China.
Yeah. No. This one was from Okinawa.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But, you know, like I say earlier, I often use the commercial orchards as examples of proper pruning. And like I say, they produce tons of fruit. And all you got to do is drive out there in the Garden Valley, see what the pros do, and you'll be amazed at how hard they cut their trees. And you know, years ago, before I really got into this, I never noticed. I never, you know,
paid any attention.
Yeah, you're right. I was doing other things, going to college or something. I don't remember.
Looking for women.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I already had a woman.
Oh,
yeah, I was married at 14. No, I'm just kidding. If my wife's listening, I was a joke, honey.
That made a whole lot of statements I wanted to say.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, because
did you see that look on my face?
I would have turned off the machine and walked out. Now, shade trees are a whole different ball game. Shade trees, they get larger, they grow faster. Some of them grow faster, some of them are slower growers. But as you look around town and go into different older neighborhoods that the trees have been in for 30 years or 40 years, and those trees are 50, 60 feet tall, and it's not an easy thing for a homeowner to go in there and start lopping them down and taking them down and all that kind of stuff.
Unless, I guess, if you have a chainsaw, you just start from the bottom.
Well, yeah, but if there's the next door neighbor's fence is right beside that, you have to be extremely careful.
Details.
Yeah, details, right. Well, when I was still landscaping full time and all that, and folks would call and say, hey, I got these trees, it's okay, I'll come over and take a look. And they're showing me these trees, and I'm going, oh, my goodness gracious. Mm-hmm. So I'd call Tree Magic or Cowboy Tree or somebody like that and say, give me a bid, and they'd give me a bid. And they got the lift truck. They can get way up there and just kind of piece it down to where it's usable and doable. And that's the only way to do it. Don't think you can climb that tree with a chainsaw and get up there and work it, because it's very, very dangerous when you try to do something like that.
Not recommended.
No, not recommended. You know, you're going to, when you do that, like with a shade, with any tree, you're going to force side growth, horizontal growth rather than top growth, and you're going to maximize your shade for future years. It's that simple. And once you do it, you know, some of the older homes that have very large trees in there, and they're good shade trees and all that, and they've probably been in 50, 60 years or whatever in the older parts of Roseburg. If they cut some of those down, the next year, not down, but, you know, like maybe 40% of the top out, the next year they would have some more shade, and they'd be in the shade all the time, for crying out loud, because all the energy in the root system is still the same. You haven't changed that, but you've changed the top, and it's always in balance. That root system is in balance with the top, so consequently, you take the top out, guess what? That root system's still full mill deal, and it pushes, and what do you do? Well, you create more leaves, more shade, more baby limbs.
Yeah, there you go.
We got a break?
We do.
We'll be back.
And our phone number?
673-4464 if you have a question or a suggestion.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. As he says, we are back.
And if you have a question or a comment, 673-4464 is the number to call.
All right.
All right. I'm talking about pruning shade trees, and we already talked about the fruit tree part, so if you missed that, too bad.
No, but, listen to the podcast.
Whatever that is, yeah.
541radio.com.
Ah, I knew there was a number for it. But, you know, the shade trees, that's a different technique, and... you know, and if you prune a shade tree when it's young and force the side growth rather than let it grow high, I mean, you'll have some height to it. You know, but if some of the maples, they'll grow 3 feet a year once they're established.
Wow!
Not the very first year you put them in, but the second year they might grow 18 inches, and then the third year they might grow 2 feet, and once they really get established, they're growing. And if you cut off that new growth or most of that new growth, and that goes straight up, you can spread the canopy of the tree out, so the side growth spreads, and the more side growth you get, the more shade you're going to get in the long haul. And if you do that consistently, say for the first two to four years, yeah, and shape the tree, then it's going to grow that way pretty much for the rest of its life. It's not the top's not going to get out of hand and go crazy and be 40 feet tall
and straight up,
and you'll still get shade from it, but when you do the pruning, it's going to give you more shade,
mm-hmm,
more quickly. And nice. Like when you do the fruit trees, it's going to give you more fruit and that more quickly. It's a simple thing, and
that's what you want.
Exactly, and all you have to do, like I say, on the fruit trees is go by Cruz's Farms or Brosai Farms and take a look at their orchards, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about here. Because if you can see a tree that the before and afters of a tree, and you go, wow, now I understand why that happens, okay, and you just have to replicate what they're doing. So, and many people, when they buy shrubs and just let them grow with no pruning, and sometimes those shrubs, a lot of times those shrubs are planted too close together because they wanted to make a hedge or they wanted to hide the neighbor with some shrubs, and they'll, instead of planting them 8 feet apart, to plant them 3 feet apart, and consequently, in 4 or 5 years, it's a jungle out there, and you got to whack them, or it continues to get even junglier.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good word, junglier.
Yep, yep.
I just made that up. But
okay,
you know,
Biden. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that?
Yeah, you did. No, you hold your tongue there, buddy. But the shrubs, they need to be pruned too. Not quite like a fruit tree or a shade tree, but you want them to fit. You want them to be healthy. You want them to, be topped a little bit and thinned for their beauty and for healthy growth. And this is really the case, like I said, when planting a hedge or a privacy screen. Many times when I was working in the nursery, folks would come in and say, oh yeah, I want a hedge plant, and I want one of those fast growing ones, with the red leaves. And I say, oh, you're asking for a photinia. Oh yeah, that's it, firebush, right, exactly. And I'd show them, take them down to where the photinia were, and I said, well, how much of an area do you have? So we have 30 feet or we have 40 feet. Mm-hmm. We were going to put these, maybe 4 or 5 feet apart. And I said, well, I can save you some money. You don't have to put them 4 or 5 feet apart. You can put them 8 feet apart. You can put them 10 feet apart.
You buy less.
You buy half as much as
right.
what you were counting on. And they go, wow, really? I said, yeah, really, honest. And I would show them the pruning technique. You know, I'd have some pruners in my pocket. And I would tip some of the taller ones just to show them how to do it. And I go, wow, that's great. I says, yeah, because those son of a guns are going to grow sideways 6 to 8 feet easily.
Mm.
And if you put them 8 feet apart, they're going to be touching in 3 years anyway.
Yeah.
And just, just keep pruning the tops. And now there are other shrubs that are slower growing, like boxwood. It's the real tight evergreen kind of thing. It's the more formal looking entryway hedge.
Oh, yeah.
They only might grow four inches a year. Something like that. But you want to keep them neat and clean. Sure. Some people like them rounded. Some people like them squared, you know, and that takes some doing and some practice. If they've never done it before, the first time they do it, they go, oh, my gosh, it ruined my hedge because, it's not like what they had envisioned. But with practice, that'll come. And you didn't hurt the shrub. It'll grow back.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it.
Just like my China vine.
Yeah, your China vine. I'll tell you, I think that's a... I think you just make that up. But, pruning is good. It's healthy. And it's going to make those plants respond in a very healthy way. And exactly like I say, with planting a hedge or a privacy screen, you don't want to put too much in there because after a few years, if you got too much, you're going to say, why did I get so many plants, and start taking some of them out? Or prune them really, really heavy. But then once you start that process, you got to keep up with that process. So don't let the shrubs outgrow their space, especially, if you have a driveway and there's the front yard and then there's a small bed. Maybe a 2 foot wide planting bed that next to the driveway or something, maybe even 3 feet. You want to make sure you keep a small shrub in there so it doesn't get to be a headache in 3 or 4 years and you're wondering why you can't open your car door because the stinking shrub's right there.
So you get
smaller growing shrubs, but you keep them pruned as well. And then you've got no hassles and you don't break the leaves off when you open your car door.
And get scratched.
Yeah. And then, sometimes you can get a scratch. It depends. But you want them to grow. You want them to be healthy. Yeah. And pruning is part of the health plan that you should have for your plants. And if you
kind of sounds like your kids.
It is. And you start for the right size and good health. And a slow growing plant, like I said, is easier to keep in shape than a fast grower. Remember, you're not hurting the plant. You're not killing the plant by pruning. It's like cutting your fingernails. That's how it is. You know where the memorial is, the war memorial is over by the airport there at the front.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we landscaped that, 20 years ago or something like that.
Wow.
And they wanted boxwood hedge out along the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And they're the slow, real slow growing kind. And we pruned them a little bit every year, and they're beautiful. None of them have died in 20 years. It's been great. And then we planted some larger trees in the background, kind of as it just kind of blocks the airport a little bit. It blocks the planes a little bit, but that's okay. It's not near the runway. But that's a perfect place to look at as you go on. I'm sure people go by, thousands of people go by there every day or every week for sure, and see, how that looks. And you say, I'd like that same look in my yard. And then look at how far apart we put those plants. And they're almost touching, but not quite. We try to keep some space in between them for air circulation. Mm-hmm. Because when you don't have air circulation in a hedge or anything like that, that's when the bugs and the viruses and the disease say, wow, here's a perfect place.
Yep.
No, it's shady, it's cool, and nobody's going to mess with us.
And it's hidden,
and we'll go in there and lay our eggs and eat the plant. Well, if you got some space and you got some air circulation, it'll still happen, but to a lot lesser degree. And that's why they need space. But like I say, you're not hurting the plant. You're helping the plant. You're making it prettier. It's okay. It's all right. But,
hang in there and fight.
Just do it. Just do it, baby.
Well, I must have did something right with that Easter lily.
Why?
I cut it way down several months ago, and it was still warm and hot.
Uh-huh.
Well, I thought I had killed it the other day. It was just limp, everything,
Uh-huh.
And I thought, whoa. Anyway, it wasn't. I guess it was too cold for it.
Yeah. Yeah,
it came right back.
Oh yeah, leaves laid down.
Yeah,
didn't it? Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. They just laid down. They said, "Oh, we're not going to fight this."
No,
And
by the time I got home that day again, it plurked right up.
Yeah, you can't. Once they're planted, baby, they're there. I'll tell you. I've got some in my yard, and I think my place probably gets colder than you.
Yeah,
and Sutherland there, but You know, the same thing as my wife plants the different bulbs around, and they're looking really good about October. The green leaves are up, mm-hmm. and then as soon as it gets really good cold snap in the canyon, boom, bah.
Yeah.
You go, wow, are they dead? No, they're not. They just pop back
it
up.
It sure looks like it's dead.
I know, but as soon as it warms up, they come barreling back.
That's exactly what it did. Yeah.
Yeah,
but can't. Not that China vine, which is right next to it. Nothing bothers it.
Well, dynamite.
Dynamite might. Oh, jeez.
But pruning is both a skill and an art. You know, people say, what do you mean by that? Well, it is. You have to... You have to, the skill part is making the proper cuts at the proper time. And you want the shrub or the tree to benefit from your pruning. And you don't want the finished product to look like some hatchet job, like my partner here just talked about. You know. But prior to pruning a tree, try to visualize the finished product. In other words, look at that tree several times, I mean 10 times if you have to, and visualize what you're going to do to the tree, how you're going to prune it, how much you're going to take off the top, how much you're going to thin the interior branches and limbs and that kind of thing. And if you can't visualize that, get a book on pruning with pictures, and it'll have, you know, before and after pictures in it, and there's plenty of them at the box stores have them in their home. Do-it-yourself.
Home garden or
whatever.
Home
garden stuff, yeah. And you can see what I'm talking about. And you can see the pictures, like I say, of the before and after. And then look at your tree with a more critical eye after that. And remember that the small branches are the first to be removed. The real tiny small branches, all they're doing is taking energy from the tree, if it's a fruit tree, for instance. And it's not going to have any fruit on it for quite some time unless it, you know, you let it go for 3 or 4 years. So the little tiny ones, you want to take them off, and what that does, it opens up the tree a little bit, and then the bigger branches that actually bear the fruit, you want to cut back maybe 12, 18 inches of the ends of those, and so the energy of the tree is amplified the following spring so that you get a very good crop of whatever fruit is on that tree. Now, the only time in my old house in Roseburg, it was a jungle when we moved in.
The rose bush tree?
There was roses. There was 100,000 roses, I think, in there. But they planted a plum tree right next to the front steps. There's a concrete walkway from the driveway, and then there's the front steps and a small porch. And this plum tree was growing sideways because it would plant it about a foot from the concrete steps. And I looked at it for a couple of years, and you know, and I'm thinking, man, what are we going to do with this thing? Hmm. And when it bloomed in the spring, it was gorgeous. I mean, full of blooms. And then there was about 10,000 bees that came and made their homes there. So to walk in our front door, you had to be real careful. Mm. Just walk real fast. Don't wave your arms.
No.
Or go in the back door, one of the two.
Get the groceries in and out.
Yeah, through the bedroom window or something.
Oh, no.
But finally, one winter, I got up there and I hacked that puppy way down. And and kept it that once I hacked it down, I kept it that way, and it was a prettier tree, a nicer tree. It was still leaning, and I don't know. Maybe the new owners took it out. I haven't noticed, but it was destined to not make it simply because they planted it too close, and they're either going to crack the sidewalk, which it would take a long time to do that, or grow so heavy and lean it would just fall down into the yard.
Oh.
You know, so if it's a leaner, you got your choice. Prune it heavy or cut it out.
How were the plums on it?
Oh, when the plums came, you could fill a pickup truck with the plums.
Oh, geez.
And there were those great big burgundy colored ones.
Oh yeah,
sweet.
The good kind.
Oh gosh, they were good. But you had to go in there with a bee suit on to pick any because the bees would get you.
They thought they were theirs.
Oh yeah, gosh. Yeah, look at that. You did it again. Let's get him. Okay.
All righty. I guess we better go for a break.
Okay, we'll be back. Any questions, 673-4464.
It's right here, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, we'll just keep on a trucking here. And our phone number, Mike,
673-4464. If you have a question or a comment, we'd be glad to hear from you.
Absolutely.
All right, been talking about pruning. Pruning, pruning, pruning. It's one of those wintertime jobs, you know, you got from now till, say, February or so to prune anything. You can
get out there and burn those Thanksgiving Day calories.
Yeah, Thanksgiving calories, huh?
Yeah, look at me.
Well, I don't want to.
Okay.
Oh, jeez. But I'm trying to paint a word picture out there for you listeners so that you can grasp what I'm talking about. And you know, the fruit trees, like I said, should be topped and thinned. And let's say you have an apple tree that it's 10 feet tall and 10 feet wide with a whole bunch of small non-bearing branches. And the non-bearing branches should be removed first. And I mentioned that earlier in the program. They're the small branches that might be, you know, 24 inches long, 18, 24 inches long. They're about as big around as a pencil. They're not going to bear any fruit. Why don't you just cut them off? They're going to take nutrition from the tree, nutrition from the root system. But if you cut all them little skinny things off, that nutrition goes into the bearing branches, which is like a supercharge for the fruit bearing limbs. And that's what the orchardists that are here in Douglas County, that's what they do, and that's what they do all over the United States. Here's a go to Medford sometime and go on Old 99, stay off I-5, go down the old highway toward Ashland, and look at all the pear orchards down in that country and how they prune them. And they, you know, it's like the pear capital of the United States, for crying out loud. And it's how you produce great and enormous amounts of fruit. But the non-bearing branches, they're just going to take the nutrition, going to add a few leaves. And if you left them on for a couple of years, they're going to become bearing branches. But, you know, in the meantime, you're getting less fruit. And so why mess with them? And they're okay, but they're taking energy from the tree. Now, look at your tree again and prune the ends of the thicker bearing branches back about, like I said, 12 to 18 inches, to the older wood. And then you can step back, take a look, and then you can thin out the branches that are growing, like I say, too close together. Remember that you are creating space for fruit to grow and develop. Also, by pruning a tree, it gets more nutrition from the root system. That which is left gets more nutrition. And if it gets more nutrition and food from that root system, it becomes a better, hardier, abundantly healthy tree. And you do it not only with fruit trees. I've been kind of focusing on fruit trees, but the same happens with shade trees as well. And if it's done properly, the finished product looks good too. I mean, that's all, you go, wow, that's a good looking tree. And your neighbor will be jealous and say, hey, how'd you do that? And you say, well, for $100, I'll come over and show you, you know? No, that probably wouldn't work. But for good, clean cuts, always use sharp and very clean pruning shears. And when making cuts, cut on a 45-degree angle. A flat cut just cut it flat with the branch. It could absorb water and begin to cause rot in the branch in the long run. Not, you know, immediately, but over a period of years, if you continue to do that, you're going to cause rot to happen in that branch. So you cut everything on a 45. So if the rain hits, it rolls off. It doesn't stick. It doesn't stick to the cut. And consequently, your tree is more healthy for that. Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, shade trees are a different approach. I mean, excuse me, usually they are large, tall trees, and the best way to shape, prune, or remove them is to call a tree pruning company, and that is equipped to prune or remove a hazard tree, for instance.
And there are several out around here.
Exactly.
Out around here. How's that for language?
That's good. You did well. I'm proud of you. But here are some signs to look for with the shade trees. Is the tree leaning over your house, for instance, or over a street, or hanging over on a neighbor's property? You know, sometimes you plant a tree and it has a slight lean to it, and it'll straighten up. Well, you know, in a year or two before it has a massive root system, a good storm comes in and blows it over a little bit more, and then pretty soon it's leaning pretty good, but it's getting bigger now, so you figure it's okay.
Yeah.
But as it stretches toward the sun, the branches that are facing south and west will outgrow the branches that are facing north and east because there's more sunlight and warmer temperatures to the south and the west. So consequently, the tree even gets more lopsided or more leaning, and then you got a problem you got to deal with.
Got a big mess.
Yeah, you can prune very heavily and try to keep it in shape. But in the meantime, when you do plant a tree, make sure you stake it for a couple of years and make sure you keep it straight. And
that's what those are for.
Yeah, right. Either that or putting them through vampire hearts.
Yeah, I was. That's probably what I thought it was.
Pardon me?
That's probably what I thought it was for. It was,
yeah, right. You would think that. But shade trees are, some of them get, you know, 40, 50, 60 feet tall.
Ooh,
over the years.
Wow.
You know, you go down.
Laurelwood?
Laurelwood. And beautiful homes down there, beautiful old landscaping, and huge oaks. Oh, gosh, big, huge oaks. And some of them are way too close to their homes. You know, I was on, one guy called me and asked me to come over and look at his tree. And I went down there, and it was probably, oh gosh, only 8 feet from the house, the trunk.
Wow.
But the top was overhanging the house, and it was a good 30 feet tall, 35 feet tall tree. And wanted to know how much I'd charge to do it, and I says, I'm not going to charge you nothing. You're going to call a tree company. I'm not touching that puppy. You know, that's way too big, and, you know, there's too much collateral damage that could happen. So he called, I told him to call Cowboy Tree Service. They do a good job. And they've got that ladder, and they, you know, go up on that ladder truck, and they do, and it's safe. And they cut it, and they can drop it where they want it. And then they got a chipper right there. They feed it in their chipper, and it all chips up. And
I was going to say, you probably had some firewood.
Well, there was probably a couple of limbs that would have made firewood, but apparently they just chipped it all. So what?
We have a phone call.
Hello, a phone call. Right.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Could you turn your radio down just a bit there? We're getting an echo.
I will. Hold on.
Thank you.
There we go. Hey, I was wondering how in the older times there used to be a lot of paint. You painted your cuts, and I don't see that much anymore. And I was wondering if that didn't prove out to be as effective or what.
Okay, what was the first part? I quite didn't get what you said.
You know how they used to paint the wounds or paint
paint them. Okay.
Trees?
Yeah.
Paint your cuts.
Yeah.
Is that only on the main structure or something?
Well, it's on any say any cut that's over 2 inches. They usually paint them, and if it's not a large tree, they can paint even those smaller ones. But the larger cuts that are, you know, 6 inches in diameter or larger than that, they give them a coat of tree seal, and it's usually black. And kind of like a tar base, and so it can rain on it, but it doesn't let the rain penetrate into the tree.
Yeah, it's just that I haven't. It seems like when I was younger, I'm probably your guy's age or so, and I used to see it a lot more than I do today. So
yeah.
I was just curious.
There may be some new thought on doing that, but any time I called a tree surgeon to do a job for me and there was big limbs, I made sure they painted the big limbs.
Oh, very good.
I just asked and said, hey, I want those painted. Okay, no problem. They do it.
Well, I'm enjoying the episode. I'm learning a lot.
Well, good.
On pruning, and I've pruned in the past, but it's good to hear, you know, just more good sense talk. So,
well, you can't you never stop learning if you listen.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, happy holidays, fellas.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the call very much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Gotta go to a break already. Can you believe that? What is our phone number, Mike?
673-4464.
We're quick. We can get it in. 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back for a few more minutes anyway, about 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, we got time for another phone call at 673-4464. If you want to, we'll have a quick discussion and solve all of your problems.
Bingo, bango, that's how it works.
Yeah. So, some signs to look for on the large trees, whether you should prune them. Excuse me, prune them or not. Let's say the tree is leaning over your house or over the street or over a neighbor's property. It might be a good idea to talk to your neighbor and maybe both of you can get together and get that thing pruned or even take it out.
Talk to him sensibly, not with a one finger wave.
Right. And it's something that would cost you a lot of money if it fell down,
right?
Or if it fell in his yard, and then your neighbor and you are at odds, if you will.
So to speak.
So to speak, yeah. And I see it all over Roseburg, for crying out loud. Well. I'm thinking, what is going on here? Why'd you plant it up against the fence like that? Well, that's where I wanted it.
Aunt Martha told me to.
Yeah. But one sign to look for is the tree has maybe multiple trunks, you know, like there's three trunks coming up from the root system. Well, they're not all equally strong. There's one that's going to be the dominant trunk, and the other two are going to be less dominant or kind of inferior.
I didn't know that.
Or weaker, because nice. The one that was there originally was the strong one. It was the one that took shape and went. And these other two coming off the side there, they're not as strong. They're vigorous, but they're not quite as strong. And they're leaning so much that one of these days in the future, they're either going to break off or fall, you know, part of it will fall off. And if it breaks off at the base, then you've got a big scar and a big wound, and it might kill the rest of the tree.
So they're not even there for support.
No. But if it has, and then if you see cracks in the bark or splits or like large multiple branches off to one side where, you look at the branching pattern of a tree and one side of it has twice as many branches in one area, that's going to be a future weak spot. That's going to be a future problem if you don't remove it. And if you have questions like that, you know, you can call one of the tree services here in the Roseburg area, and they'll come over and tell you, well, this is what it needs and this is how much we can do it for, and you never know. And there may be rot or weakness in those trunks. So if you see cavities, you know, holes or pockets of decay, you also want to have that professional look at it and to analyze the tree's health.
Yeah, don't get out Crest and try to brush it.
Yeah.
Or cavity.
You know, it won't work. It's not that way.
That was a joke.
I know. I was ignoring you. You don't joke about landscaping. But hanging or large broken branches, they need to be pruned. So you want to look critically at your trees in your yard, and even take a glance at your neighbor's neighbor's yard and see how his trees are doing. And if you see a tree that might possibly be a problem to your yard, you might want to have a cup of coffee with your neighbor and say, hey, Bob, you ever notice that tree? It's how it's leaning over towards me, and it's got all those branches on that one side. Boy, if that broke off, that would destroy my patio. Or that would, you know, hit my roof or something like that.
That don't make me happy.
Yeah, maybe we could do something about that. You know, split the cost and have
a little preventive.
A tree surgeon come on over and remove it for us, please. But and then look very closely, check very closely for deadwood. You know, a dead branch that's 3 or 4 inches in diameter can cause real damage to a roof or somebody's head.
Oh my gosh.
If it breaks from heavy wind or snow, like our Snowmageddon thing that we had, there was a lot of tree work that winter and spring. We were busy, you know, doing lots of cleanup, and the crews were out there and doing a lot of pruning and getting rid of a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I had a tree that hit my house.
Yeah.
Boy,
that woke you up.
It did at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. But
I shouldn't laugh. It just.
Well, I laugh too now, you know, and like I was going to say here, a few years ago we had, you know, that severe snow. I forget, we out at our place we probably had a good 2 feet, and it was wet, you know, very wet snow.
The worst kind.
Yeah, very wet. And I had that perfectly healthy, good Douglas fir up behind the house that fell on our bedroom roof, and it just caught the edge of the roof, and it was 2 a.m. And it sounded like a bomb hit the roof, and, you know, we both instantly woke up.
Oh,
God, what happened here? And I opened the door from the bedroom to the patio, and there was 20 feet of tree laying on the patio, and the rest of it was just on the edge. If it had moved over 8 inches, it wouldn't even hit my roof, maybe 10 inches. But that's the way it is.
Got to say goodbye for today.
Well, thank you for listening. I hope you got something out of it. Bye.